Okay, good. So I think tomorrow, what did we say? Tomorrow, right, at 1 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
Yes, because this was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But I'll try to do a little bit, since we're up to Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron, so maybe, you know, work it in a little. Right? Oh, just remind everybody of a few things. Kicha, Kicha. Nah, a couple of words. But, what? Yeah. So, okay. So this week we're Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I'll leave you things, you know, for next week. So I'll be away, but I'll be back Thursday. We'll try to make a longer share if we can on the Thursday coming back. So, and then by then I'll just figure out a little better which topic. Maybe we'll do some of the topics that I, because they're just a little more targeted. First, I want to go through the Shach Matari here. We'll see. We'll start in a second. And then we still have to do those other Kesef things before we get to Shtar. So we'll just figure it out in the next 12 or 24 hours or so, exactly how we're going to proceed. I also may want to, at some point, just talk a little more about some Sudar issues, some broader ones, since we, it's very easy for, based on what we did, to do Simin Kuf Tzadi Hey, right? And just like, you know, in Shulchan Aruch, and there are a few other, like, interesting things to add. So either at some point we'll just talk about it for a few more minutes, or you can do it on your own. But we did, you know, again, you really have to do some of the sugyas, obviously, in Bava Metzia, in Azov, but the spade work that we did definitely gets us pretty far in doing a comprehensive job on Sudar, and which is important because it's a certain, it's not just a kinyan as we've discussed, it's a very critical kind of a kinyan and one which is paradigmatic, so that makes it very important. Okay, but I do wanted to get through the Shach Matarya first, through Hey Omer Aleph, and just talk about the Rambam. Did I give you the? Did we find the numbers in the Rambam? Just to, was it Shin Nun Hey? Anybody the Tshuva? Right, I think it's Sin Mem Dalet. I think in the Tshuvas of the Rambam, and I think it's Shin Nun Hey in the. But I'll have to check again. And again, to look at Pirshim Mishnayos, even that we'll talk about it today. Pirshim Mishnayos and Sefer Mitzvos. Yeah. No, is it Shun? I thought the Tshuva to the... Oh, you didn't get a chance. Okay, I'll get it for you for definitively. We're not going to speak about it today anyway. So, in other words, what the Rambam's view was really about Kesef Midivrei Sofer. Okay, so before we do that, let's talk a little bit about Yibum. Let's go, continue first, and then we'll just go through some of these Shach Matarya. There's a lot to talk about here. So you know, let us you know, let's begin. So Jakey, you want to do the honors? Yeah, I think we left off at Chalitza. Is that it? We'll talk about that for a few minutes. Minyan de Seifa Lamutei Mai. Is that where we're up to? Sound right? On the top of the page on Gimel Amud Beis.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk about this for a minute. Vema Hachanami. So the Gemara is persistent, right? Okay. So what do you make of this? Jakey, what do you make of it? Shach Matarya. Interesting Shach Matarya. Expected. Difficult Havamina, difficult Maskana. Again, I stopped you on the street and I said to you, by the way, something that's always bothered me. Like, how come Chalitza doesn't work to get you to you know, to be Mater and Isha from Eris? That's what the Gemara is basically saying, right? So what would you think about that? It seems pretty strange to me, at least, and I guess to you, right? I don't want to put words in your mouth, you know? Sometimes I get a little excitable. I have to be careful not to, like, impose that on other people. Yeah. So the Hava Amina of the Gemara is that there should be a Kal V'Chomer from Yibum, that Chalitza, if Chalitza is Matir Yibum, then Chalitza should be Matir Erusin, or Ishus. Right, at least Erusin. Would it also be Matir Nesuin? That's also an interesting question. Did the Gemara think that, when the Gemara thought that Chalitza would be Matir Erusin, does it also think it would be Matir Nesuin? That's an interesting question. We'll discuss that in just a sec. It's hard to know. I don't think it's knowable. But it's a hypothetically interesting thing to wonder about, as we'll explain in just a second. So, but at minimum, the Gemara is asking that maybe Chalitza should work for Erusin. And then the Gemara is saying, you know, again, that's the Kal V'Chomer that you would make. And then the Gemara says, even Vei Mahachanami. When it says Vei Mahachanami, I said that's a certain persistence, implying like, yeah, like, really, what's wrong with this, right? It's like one of those Minchas Chinuch questions, right? You know, we know it can't be true, but, you know, we still would like to know why it can't be true, right? That's where the insight comes from. So that's what the Gemara is saying, Vei Mahachanami. And then the Gemara is saying it's Sefer Krisa, Sefer Karsa, Vein Davar Acher Karsa. So there are two ways to look at that, too, right? One is that it's, you know, in Ochanami, it makes a lot of sense. It really could have been that way in an alternative universe, right? The idea that Chalitza would work, at least for Erusin, maybe even for Nisuin, is something that is not absurd at all. It's something very reasonable. It just happens not to be true, because Xeris HaKosov, Sefer Karsa, Vein Davar Acher Karsa. Right? Or is that, you know, a way of saying that it's totally wrong? Like, how wrong is it? You might think, well, what's the difference? In the end of the day, you know, Chalitza works for Yibum and it doesn't work for Erusin, which is true. But of course, we're very interested because we really want to understand Yibum and Chalitza better, and we want to understand, you know, Erusin and Nisuin and Gittin better. So how wrong this is, or how conceivable it might ever have been, is important, right? And there actually could even be other nafkamina, what we call sometimes, you know, echoes, meaning depending on why this is wrong, or why it could have been right, right? That could impact the way that we understand these institutions, and there might be other issues that are, you know, going to be influenced by that, right? Jakey, you agree? Okay, so let's just take a couple of minutes before we move on to the next Gemara, which is our main focus, to discuss this. So the problem with it, as you articulated it, like it seems a little strange, is why? Why does it seem strange? I mean, we know it isn't true, but aside from that, what string? We're all open-minded people here, right? We're, you know, open to legitimate, you know, reasonable suggestions, but why do we resist? There's something, what? Well, how would you describe your resistance? Assuming that it wasn't me imposing it on you. Right. I don't think I could.
How would Rebbe describe his resistance?
What's that?
How would Rebbe describe his resistance?
Well, I'm more interested in hearing how Jakey would describe it. Yeah. In general terms, we have this instinct, I think, that what? That Chalitza is something very particular to the Parsha of Yibum, right? I mean, I think that is a visceral... that's a visceral, you know, kind of initial reaction, reflex reaction. It doesn't mean it's right, right? The visceral part of it, I think, really flows also from, you know, the way that we react to the actual ceremony a little bit of Chalitza. Okay, what do I mean by that? And that could be wrong, but it's still something to think about. What do I mean by that? Eitan? Yeah, the rakika, and the, you know, and the pronouncement, right? You know, me'ein yavami, right? You know, lahakim shem bi Yisrael, beis chalutza now. Meaning, it sounds like chalitza. Just if you know, we're going to deal with the bigger conceptual structural, you know, questions in just a second. But just to, that's what I mean by the reflex visceral part is, it sounds like Eitan. Those things make it seem like Chalitza is very specific kind of a reaction to ignoring particularly the obligation of Yibum. I mean, it's almost like the Chalitza has a, you know, like a built-in spurned, you know, or lost opportunity aspect to it that a get doesn't. I mean, a get is sad, as we know, right? That's why, you know, the Chazal say in the end of the Gemara in Gittin and elsewhere that, you know, that that the Mizbeach cries. We talked about, you know, that in the beginning of the year, how, you know, get is a double-edged sword, right? It's that's why it's Erbaz Davar, you know, even if it's, you know, Higdicha Tavshilo, everything we talked about. It's not, it's sad, and it reflects a high standard of Kedusha and so on. But we don't look at Gittin, the process of Gittin. There's nothing about it that's like a vis. It's a harat muteris achala. It's the dissolution of the ishus or a matir of the ishus, right? But there's no. We are sad about it when we reflect upon it. The lost opportunity, the idealism of the first marriage in particular. You know what that, you know, represents, right? You know, thinking about it in terms of Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam, you know. And so on, but there's nothing in the it's not a enjoyable thing to, you know, to attend, right? But it's not jarring or disturbing. You don't get the sense that the person who's megaresh, you know, based on the act of gerushin, right? It's a pretty sanitized, you know, formalized, legal, you know, event. And that's not true in chalitza. Chalitza is very, it's meant to be traumatic, and it's meant to make a certain point. It's meant to emphasize a certain negligence or neglect, maybe, of a certain obligation that you had. L'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael. When you think about what Yibum is such a remarkable institution to begin with, right? And this goes to everything that we're about to say, but again, we're not going to learn Masechet Yevamos right now, don't worry. But although it is a great limud, you know, the whole idea of Yibum, as we understand, is, you know, is fraught with all sorts of, you know, tensions, and it's, you know, as the Rav would have said, very dialectical. You know, on the one hand, of course, the Isur of Eishes Ach, and you know what would be a reprehensible betrayal of the Kedusha of Ishus and of a personal, you know, bond at that. Right, this is one of the arayos, and it's an arayos even la'achar misa, typically, when there are children, and la'achar gerushin. We talked the other day about, you know, the difference between, you know, gilei arayos even for b'nei Noach and for b'nei Yisrael, and the idea of the extended family, and la'achar misa, and la'achar gerushin, and so on and so forth. You know, so eishes ach, you know, is a very chamor erva, as we all understand. But on the other hand, you know, when there are no children, so that all of a sudden turns into, you know, l'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael, and a chiyuv and a chesed ki yeshvu achim yachtav, emphasizing, as we discussed at another point earlier in the year, right, the family aspect. You marry a person, you marry their family. That gives you a family obligation. It gives you a family to the person and to their family, even after his death, to make sure that he leaves a proper legacy. So this Yibum idea is, again, and, you know, goes to the question of also of how much hutra, how much dechuya, but especially if you take, you know, what I call a super hutra perspective, you know, which means that not only legally are we saying, it's not like you're, there's an Isur Eishes Ach, and you're overrided because of the Chiyuv Yibum, right? But that's a perspective too. But it's more than that. It's not, and it's not just that, you know, La'or, the Chiyuv Yibum, there is no violation of Isur Eishes Ach. You know, but, you know, what I call the super hutra idea is the idea of Kedushas Ishus Shel Yibum, which is, on the contrary, the very reason why there is an Isur of Eishes Ach is the very reason why, in the case of Yibum, right, you have the chi of L'Hakim L'Achim Shem B'Yisrael. It's all about, you know, the right perspective and a legacy of, and the responsibility, you know, to the Achames. Again, you know, these are all things that we could document, but we're not learning Yibamas right now. But the point is that Yibum is tied up with all these, you know, emotions, and there are different perspectives in the among the Tanaim, among the Mamboraim, among the Rishonim, right, among the Poskim, you know, what's better, Yibam or Chalitza, or are they neutral, right? How Hutra is it, and so on. So you can understand that an aspect of Chalitza, when we think about it, and again, reflected very much by the Rekika and by the Amira and by the whole ceremony, is this notion of, you know, having kind of, you know, ignored, you know, this chesed and this family obligation and, you know, kind of, you know, betraying in a way, you know, the legacy of the husband. So all that aspect of it, and the visceral part of it for sure, is very much tied up with Yibum, very particularly. As I say, in a get, it's sad, and, you know, it's a reflection of a different aspect of Ervas Dabar, but you don't get that physical, visceral experience, because it's a wholly different kind of a, you know, get karsav, ein dover acher karsav. Maybe that's the answer, but definitely not chalitza. So the havamina that chalitza, you know, would be applicable to a regular ishus, to a regular erison, is surprising given the details of it and how it seems particularly to fit in with the din of Yibum in a very specific way. Another way to look at this, all to make it problematic, is the idea that, you know, Yibum and Chalitza, maybe instead of, you know, looking at it the way we just did, which is still a very, maybe the strongest reason to think that Chalitza is unique to Yibum, there's another way also to look at Yibum and Chalitza, not mutually exclusive, but a different emphasis, and that is that they are, especially if you take the view that we're ambivalent, let's say, about Yibum, and that's also reflected in the Hutra Dechuya stuff, but it's also reflected in, you know, whether there's a preference for Yibum over Chalitza, right? Maybe there's a preference for Chalitza Dafka, right? There's some formulations, especially the Yerushalmi, and, you know, Ellie will be happy to hear about the Zohar, right? Have we talked about the Zohar? Or just knew that one on your own? What?
I think it's come up.
It's come up, yeah. The Sma quotes it. I'm sorry, Beis Shmuel quotes it. He's very big on that particular Zohar. About what? What's that Zohar about?
About the...
Oh, amazing Chalitza.
Getting really happy.
What?
The brother and the kever getting really happy.
Yeah, for the Chalitza even.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, ironically, in a way, that's opposite of what we were just talking about, but it's a parallel opposite in the sense that Chalitza is viewed as some sort of real kiyum, you know, and it's hard to say that in the context of Erison. What would that even be? But again, it's very tied up to this particular, you know, situation. That's why I say it's an opposite, parallel opposite, but an opposite nonetheless. Or even if you were just to look at it in a way which we'll see in just a minute, and that is to say that, you know what, maybe the Zika is a question. Instead of looking at the Zika and then looking at your alternatives, we'll discuss this, you know, but again, this is massive, in Masachet Yevamos. I know I still owe some Zika shiurim, right? Instead of looking at the Zika, you know, and then saying, and, you know, what happens next, a perspective might be that the Chiyuv, Yibum, or Chalitza is the Mechayiv, it's the Koveya of the Zika. I mean, there wouldn't be a Zika if there wasn't a Chiyuv, O Liabim, O Lachlots. So even if you don't want to go the Zohar, perhaps Yerushalmi route, of, you know, the Chalitza being a Chiyuv, the idea that Yibum or Chalitza are alternatives, equal, unequal, let's say close to equal, and that they are the Mechayev of the Zika, is something which would defy any kind of analogy to or application to Yitzhiyam and Aresen, right? Clearly. So that's a second perspective that makes this very difficult to understand. A third perspective is that Chalitza is uniquely suited, forget about, again, these overlap, to being Mesalek Zika. But the idea that it would be Masalek, you know, Arison, Eish HaSish, that it had the would have the strength to do that, or the capacity, you know, here it's a question both of strength and of its nature, its character. That's something which is very difficult to understand. In a sense, the Havamina that Chalitza could apply to Arison, maybe even to Nisuin, is one which ignores these three, broadly speaking, these three factors. It also assumes something else, namely, Jakey, that? It ignores all these elements, all of which can be, you know, characterized, but in very different ways, as the idea that Chalitza is unique to the situation of Yibum and Zika. That it's viewed as a broader matir, for sure, of Ishus, and it also assumed, the Kavchomer assumes, that's kind of what we just said now. What we were saying before is, Zika might be either the Mechayiv or a matir of Yibum, but is it a Mechayiv or a matir of Ishus, per se? That's kind of what we were discussing, for three different, very different, but overlapping, maybe, reasons. But there's another assumption here, in the Kal V'Chomer part of it, which is debatable. Ariel? Moshe? No, not necessarily. I mean the next line of the Gemara. That doesn't bother me so much. Akiva? What assumption that isn't so obvious, but may be true, and one of the things we have to look at. Chaim? Well, what's the assumption of Moshe? What's the assumption of any Kal V'Chomer? Jonathan?
Just that the two things are comparable. And like
you can, that they're comparable, and not only comparable, but...
You can just present one as, in every way, more Chomer than the other.
Yeah, that Zika is more Chomer. We're assuming that they're comparable in some way, and that's kind of what we were already challenging. We're also assuming that if it's a Kal V'Chomer, it's not a Hekesh, right? And it's not a Chomer V'Kal. So it seems like we're assuming that if Chalitza, right, is Matir Zika, right, then Chalitza surely could be Matir Arison. So is that even true that the Zika is a more powerful force such that whatever is Matir it should Matir the Arison? Right, till now we've been saying apples and oranges. And we've been saying, oh, Chalitza, for various reasons, is something that is very suitable to, you know, to the situation of Yibum and Zika, you know, and not at all, seemingly, to regular Ishus. But let's put all that aside for the moment and assume an interchangeability between, let's say, Chalitza and Get, they work roughly enough in the same way, you know, they're both Matirim, or they... are misalik, you know, the kinyanim or the bonds, whatever it is, fine, good. But isn't there still a huge assumption that Zika is more powerful than, again, what is that based on? I mean, what are we getting that from? Because get doesn't work to undo a Zika. There could be other explanations why a get doesn't undo a Zika, including many of the things that we just talked about, right? The assumption is that it's a kal v'chomer, meaning that that the Zika is more difficult to dissolve than the Arison, and therefore anything that dissolves an Arison will certainly dissolve a Zika. So is that true or not? For example, just to highlight one of the points that may be problematic about it, but maybe not, right, is... Well, what might be, Ariel?
Doesn't that assume that the reason why get doesn't work for Chalitza is because maybe the reason get doesn't work for Chalitza is because the two are compatible, not because Zika doesn't work for Chalitza?
Yeah, that's what we were saying before. I'm saying that part goes with
just
as we were talking about how Chalitza may be particularly suited for Yibum and not for Erusin because of its nature. And so the flip side of that is what I said before. The flip side of that is that, you know, therefore get that doesn't relate very specifically to this whole tension, opportunity, dialectic, whatever, kiyum, mechayim, that this doesn't work. That goes into the first, I think, discussion that we have. But I'm saying even as a pure, let's assume for the moment, which is more difficult to dissolve, which is what the way the Gemara is going, right? So what would militate against saying that?
You'd say that Shtar only works against something that's more legitimate, something that's like...
Say again?
That Shtar is only going to work against something that's more, you know, like a stronger connection. And so in a weaker connection, Shtar is not even going to work.
Oh, you're saying he and Osenas, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we have to say that Lamaskana. But I just want a quick indication, but not necessarily a foolproof one, that is it... If I just asked you, like I stopped you, and you know, and I said, you know, what do you think is a more intense... you know, bond. Zika or Erusin? Shmuel?
Because of Kedushin, you're creating the bond with two people. Zika is something that just happens, matter of fact.
Okay, I don't know whether that makes it, does that make it stronger or weaker? We're going to get to that in just a second. That might make it stronger, might make it weaker. Right, that makes it different, for sure.
And what's the onesh?
What?
What's the onesh?
Oh, there you go.
What's the what?
The onesh meaning?
If a person who's not the Baal or not the brother...
The violation of, why don't you just look at the, you know, the onesh from the case of Eishes Ish. If she's an arusa and she's involved with the wrong person, what's halacha? That's Eishes Ish and she's chayiv. That's exactly. That's skila. And what happens if she's a shomeres yavam? She's a sura lacherim, correct? But there's no chayiv misa.
It
absolutely
going
could.
Against the Baal, meaning like
oh,
front.
Excellent. So, yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Say it. So that's just something to note, meaning this is that might be the answer. I think it is the answer, if you take this perspective. In other words, but it's important to throw it in there, because the Gemara is assuming in the Kal V'chomer that if you can, if Chalitza can be Mater or Zika, then Chalitza can certainly be Mater and Erusin. But a telling, counterpoint is that an erusin, right, is an inviolable bond, and its violation is subject to the death penalty. That's not true in Shomeres Yavam, implying that her connection or her, you know, status is less established. In which case, you know, you might say, oh, that's why you can get away with the chalitza, but I can't get away with the chalitza and ishas. So what Orcha is saying is that no, maybe the question of onesh misa for shomeres yavam as opposed to an ishas ish is connected to another theme that we discussed all year, right? And that is that about the strength of the bond and the kinyan and the kasher, or is that about the personal betrayal that is involved, right? We quoted the Marik, you know, who darshan du moala bo moal. To say that Omer Mutter is not an ones or even a shogeg when it comes to sota, the Isser sota, because it doesn't say umwala umwal bashem mual, it says umwala bo mual. Now again, if you don't want to accept the marik lahalacha, there's a debate in the poskim whether we do or we don't, it doesn't mean that the basic idea is still not correct, right? That's an extreme... dramatic application, and what's remarkable about it is that the Marik just darshaned it, you know, and he came up with the out of conviction. So that's a very inspiring and fascinating thing. It's a huge kula. I mean, it's a huge chumrah. But even if you don't like the application, the notion that begida, that me'ila, is an aspect of the chiv misa of the Eishes Ish is something which very well may be case. So we talked about it in when we were talking about the Asara Kula Alma Kehektesh, and when you say Hareat Mukudeshesli, are you saying Hareat Eishes Ish, right, V'Asura Gamli, but especially according to the Raivid and the Abu Dram, who say that the Isar Arus La Rusa, or the Isar Arusa La Arus, sorry, is Doraisa, And the formulation that it's based on the fact that she's an Eishes Ish, which is shocking, because she's his Eishes Ish. So if she's really an Eishes Ish, how comes Noki of Nisa? So I tried to explain then that maybe the idea is because the Mechayev of the Nisa is the Begida, there's no Begida if they have a relationship. Similarly, when it comes to Yibam, what you might say is the following. What makes Eishes Ish's Begida, Begida, is the fact that, number one, it relates to a very specific person, and number two, I'm not sure whether you need both of these, they might be overlapping, is that it was a choice, meaning she willingly accepted, right, whatever level of das is required, but they, you know, freely entered into this relationship, number one, and with a very, you know, exclusive, clear individual. Right, this, you know, Reuven. And therefore, any betrayal of that is a betrayal of Reuven. But when it comes to Shomeres Yabam, right, there's a din of Zika, but it's a chiyuv, certainly prior, if there's more than one brother, right, there's no specific, you know, person who she has Zika to. She has Zika to the group or to each one. That's also a big discussion in a Hozika. Frankly, it doesn't really matter. There's no din. Had there been a din that Shomeres Yavam, you know, would be different if there was only one candidate or more, that would be really fascinating and we could explain it this way. But there is no such din because the whole point is that, you know, until Yibum happens, it's still a din in Zika L'Mishpacha, even if there happens L'Maisa default to be only one candidate. Moreover, it's not voluntary. And here what Shmuel said comes into play a little bit. But again, in this case, some cases it could be Lekula, some cases Chomra. Namely, the Zika is automatic. It's not entered into as a matter of choice. That also means that there's less of a Begida, there's less of a single individual, even if there's default only a single individual, and it's not necessarily voluntary. As for the Mace, we'll get to in a second, I think I mentioned already this year that, and it comes up again, Shkein Skuka V'Yomedes, in the Kal V'Chomers, I'm just making our life a little bit easier later on. We always try to invest, you know, top-heavy, I guess. So I think I mentioned the view of the Sfarno, which is very explicit, but I think it has advocates, you know, in the more classical Mefarshim and Rishonim, and including when we get to Shkein Skuka V'Yomedes, and that is that the mace, right, that the Eirusin still belongs to the mace. Right? She's still Eishes HaMace. You know, Hachutza L'Izar, but she's still Eishes HaMace. And that's where the Eirusin, right, this was the, you know, the Sfarno thought that the, we'll get to this in a second also, but that the Zika is a kind of Nisuin because there already is an Eirusin, the Eirusin to the mace. So that's not so obvious. If it's true, it's a great example, again, of how, in certain conditions, the Ishus outlives the parties, right? When there's no children. Again, why do you need, we talked about the other day, why do you need Exeris HaKosav to teach you Mises HaBaal is Matir? And what about the question of, you know, Shlichus Lachar Get? Is that a Shlichus problem or a much more fundamental problem? There's no Ishus, right? And if Misa is a Matir, not just the Lemaisa termination by default because there's no two parties. All these things imply, but especially in the context of Yibum, even if it's not true generally, it's true here. And even if it's true, but more moderately in all Ishus, right, it's true much more acutely here, and that is that when there's not, you know, Lahakim Lachim Shem Be Yisrael, you might say, again, even here you don't have to say it, but according to Sfarno, you're going to say it, and people DNA, that on some level the she's still called Eishes HaMace. The Sfarno's adding, the Eirusin is still kind of intact. So then you might ask, well, if how could that be if Shomeres Yavam is not Chayv Misa? But once again, what we'll say is, even if you go that, you know, to that extent to say that the Arus or the Baal is still the Baal in this particular case, if not in all cases, but he's dead, right, sadly. There's no that surely affects the Begida. She's not betraying him. She's betraying her obligation, Lahakim Lachim Shem B'Yisrael. She's betraying the Cheftza shall Ishus, maybe, but not the Baal. So all of this is a good reason to answer that question. But certainly it's a question that legitimately needs asked. Yeah, Ellie.
Is it clear that the Ma'arik is saying that Yisora the Isser is the Mila? Because he's explaining why there's no Omer Mutter. So
yeah.
I thought he was dershing out, but Mala Bomel, the addressee of the Isser is the Baal, not a Kodesh Baruch. It's not like when I worship Avodah Zarah that my Isser is a shtach against the Kodesh Baruch. Like more similar to like a Ben Adam L'Chaveiro.
Right.
Where the Isser is just aimed, the recipient of the Isser is the Baal, but that's not to say that the Me'ila per se is the Iter. It might be the Ma'isabia, but it's an Isser against the Baal, so that's why there's no Omer Mutter.
I'm not sure why you would want to. I'm not saying it isn't that the Maisa Bia is not the Iser, but. Oh, you're saying you should only use it L'Chumra, never use it L'Kula, you're saying?
It's not a question about Chumra L'Kula, but the question isn't about me.
Well, he didn't say it L'Kula, if that's what you want to say. He said it L'Chumra.
No,
so, let me just add that the. The base earlier, the Mishnah Lamelech, I think I mentioned this at the time, Nechusota, Mishnah Lamelech, and the Beis Halevi and his Tshuva, when they talk about, we learned Ksuvas a couple years ago, we talked about this more explicitly, Mekanin La'ovek Kochavim, Kinuyin Stira, right? What is Kinuyin Stira? So the Beis Halevi, but Mishnah Lamelech, Reb Chaim is a little bit of a different take, but it's parallel to it, that the Kinuyin Stira is a kind of Kpeda, based also on Begida, right? It's where the husband says, listen, if you do this, I count this as a Begida. Now, that's not going to create a Chiyuv Misa, right? But it can create the conditions of Sota such that even if objectively there was no Maisa Bia, right? Or it was a kind of Maisa Bia or the kind of Maisa which didn't qualify, as an Iser Sota without Kinu Yustira, like Kedera Kamenoafim or Rabbe Ivari, right? Or Mekanin La'akum or Lekotan and so on and so forth. That's what the Mishnah Melech and Beis Halevi are talking about. That maybe through the mechanism of Kinu Yastira, right, this idea, this Chumra, not completely, not to the level of Eishes Ish, applies. So what I'm applying the Marik for in my explanation of the Raivin, Shiti Shana Budram, and here, Shomer Siyavam, and so on, is on a cool level.
Right.
So I think what you're saying is, maybe that's not true, or maybe he means it in a narrower way. I understand what you're saying.
No, sir, I wasn't saying Chumra.
I understand. You're saying it in a narrow way. Oh, the Maisa Bia, but the... I understand. But I'm just saying, to me, I'm not hanging my hat on the details of the Marik. I'm just saying that the Marik amplifies the role of Me'ila here.
But does he? Because Rebbe, if I'm not wrong, is still assuming that the Marik is changing from the prior assumption that Isser is somehow directed at Kadosh Baruch Hu and not at the Baal, and then Rebbe's adding in the Me'ila component. I think Rebbe's still assuming that the shift that I'm pointing to is happening, right?
Yeah.
Because he changes from Al Bashem.
Yeah, 100%.
But then Rebbe's also adding the feature of the Maharik highlighting the element of Me'ila.
Right.
But so what I'm suggesting is...
I'm just saying, for example, would you think that the Me... What do you think the Maharik... Do you think the Maharik would agree with my suggestion regarding the Raivad?
So I think maybe not.
Really?
Because in economy, there's no Maisa Me'ila, Maisa Begida in the way that Rebbe's debating it, but there's still a Maisa Bia B'Isser, and there's still
okay.
a Baal.
I can't disprove you.
But if Rebbe's being Muda, that the shift that I'm pointing to is happening, so why, and that shift is sufficient to explain the Maharik's phenomena, which he's trying to explain, why add on a element of the Maharik, which is explanatory idol, at least as far as the...
Because I think that I think the Ikar Mechayev of what he's saying isn't just the Diuk and the Pasuk. but the reading of the betrayal as part of the Machayev.
Well, wouldn't the point about the recipient be enough to explain why Omer Mutter is...
It would, but I'm saying he's applying it to Omer. He was talking about a case of Omer Mutter.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that if I only had the conclusion, I might agree with you. Because it's based on his personal drasha and accentuating that part of the Machayev, it's hard for me to think that he believes that it's so narrow.
But he's just changing, and he's not changing anything about the Mila, he's just saying, he's just going from Mala.
No, he's emphasizing.
The emphasis is on the
He's saying an objective Maisa Bia Be'isur with Omer Mutter you have. But what you don't have is, I'm sorry, you don't, an objective Maisa Bia with a typical or attached to conditions that normally are shogeg or ones, you know, you have. But this is viewed in a different way because of the language.
But it seems like what he's highlighting, he could have easily left out the lashon of Me'ilam U'ma'ala. All he's changing is from Hashem to Bo.
I'm suggesting that it's more than
that. It's sort of incoherent if you just put in Bo and Bo.
I'm suggesting that it's more than that. Certainly I'm suggesting that in the applications. I think it's clear that that's what he means, but certainly the idea of Kinu Yostira as understood by the Mishnah Malach and Beis Halevi, I think, are
right.
Certainly about that.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't have to be Tola on the Marik 100%, but if you ask me instinctively, I do believe it. Yeah?
Does the fact that the Baal can be Miyamin Lidas help us here?
Yes.
Awesome.
Of course. 100%. Because... and in a way, that's kind of what the Meiri, that's the answer to the, when Meiri, on that base, when the Gemara said, the Havamina, that you're giving B'Kaddish Bal Korcha, right? So, and all the Rishonim were saying, like, you know, the Rajbadat, like, how can you have a Kinyan Bal Korcha? You can't have anything Bal Korcha, right? So the Meiri has that line where he says, you know, I get in V'Shilchad and Yibom V'Yibma Bal Korcha, it's a Gzeres HaKasa. But I think this is one of the explanations, among the other things that we said, why Yibam is different, 100%. Because it's about all the things that we're talking about now. Yeah?
The second point in here about the Chumra of Ish over Zika, isn't that basically saying to flip the Kaval Chumra on its head and say, if Ged works for Erisin and Kol Shekinah, it should work for Yibam?
Say that again?
This pointing out the fact that Ish is more Chumra than Zika. Isn't that basically saying that you
meaning the question?
Should have had the opposite.
Right. That's what we're asking. We're saying, how come the Gemara? We're trying to explain the Gemara. The Gemara says that there's a kal v'chomer that if chalitza works for yibum, even though get doesn't, then certainly it should work for erusin. So I was asking, isn't that like a kal v'chomer pricha right? You know, right from the get-go, because of Shomeres Yavam being more kal than Ishas Ish. So you're just saying, and if that's the case, then if anything, the Gemara should have said the opposite. Kal
v'chomer. Yeah, but once we know that a get doesn't work for Yibam and Chalitza instead of Chalitza, why isn't the kal v'chomer still valid? I mean, granted, Ishas Ish is more chomer, but clearly that's not a reason for get being more.
Well, no, so what I'm trying to explain is that Eish HaSish, what you could answer in the Gemara, is that Eish HaSish is not more Chomer. The only reason that Shomer HaSyavam is more Kal than Eish HaSish is because structurally you're missing part of the Mechayev, which is the Begida.
Even without that, I'm saying, even if Eish is more Chomer, the fact that Get doesn't work more expansively, why doesn't that make
Maybe that's Exeris HaKasav Baget. Maybe that's a special din in the Yibum, a special limud. I mean, now you have to look at the Gemaras.
I mean, that's the end of the Gemara. That's the special limud.
No, the end of the Gemara is why Yibum, why Chalitza doesn't work in Erusin. You're asking why does Get not work in Yibum? That's the Gemaras in Yavamos. I'm saying you need to figure out those Gemaras too. I agree. I just don't want to learn all of Yavamos now.
I'm not asking why Get doesn't work for Chalitza. I'm saying given that Get doesn't work for Chalitza,
right?
Why isn't the Kal v'chomer valid even if Ashes is more Chomer than Zika?
Because then you have two, and you have a Pircha on the Kal v'chomer. That's like any Kal v'chomer. Let's say you have a Tzad Chomer, right? Get doesn't work for Yibum. That proves that Yibum is, you know, super powerful, right? But and therefore, what works for Yibum certainly should work for Esh HaSeish. But there's a Pircha. I'm saying Gemara should have asked the Pircha and said, yeah, but on the other side, you know, the Chiyuv Misa of Esh HaSeish proves that that bond is stronger than Shomer Yavam. That's a Kavu Chomer Pircha. Then you could do, if you want, we could do a whole Lo Reizeh, Kerezeh, Kerezeh, Kerezeh. I mean,
it's only a Pircha, though, if you assume that the expansiveness of Get should depend on how Chomer Esh HaSeish is.
Right. In Achanami. I'm just saying, again, the Gemara doesn't have this line. I'm just saying, if you assume that, and some of the Mepharshim certainly do, and that the simple reading of a Kavu Chomer, then you would say this. Okay, let's continue. I don't want to spend too much more time. So, on that side of it. So I should say that, you know, before we get even further, that generally speaking, these Kal V'chomers that appear in the Gemara, we've talked about this already, because we've had some of them, right? Because we already did Daf Hey, Omid Aleph, Hey Omid Beis, when we talked about the relationship between Chuppa and Eirusin and the capacity of Chuppa to be, you know, Kone, since it's Gomer. So we know that there are, you know, I think it's fair to say that when you get these kind of Kal V'chomers in Gemaras, there are really two perspectives you could take. One is, you know, to take them a little more lightly, but also to see them, meaning that, you know, it's kind of like a Shaka Vitaria, and, you know, you don't have to get so carried away. Moreover, the Shaka Vitarias are based kind of on ignoring, right, the nuances. They're based on a pure hierarchy of Kal and Chomer with the assumption of interchangeability. In other words, here, for example, you know, forget about whether Chalitza is unique to Yibum. Let's just, you know, it's like pure power. Does it work? It doesn't work. Here, this works. That doesn't work. This is stronger. That's weaker. What I call, you know, a plain, simple, quantitative hierarchy, right? And indeed, the Bali Tosis, generally speaking, there are exceptions to this, you know, generally take that approach in these Gemaras, as we saw. We saw already in the Chuppa thing. We'll see more. Again, it's going to come up again, the relationship between Ishus and Ama Ivria. You know, how seriously should we take the possibility that Kiddushe, that Bia, that which works in Kiddushin, should work for Ama Ivria, or that, you know, Sheishanim, or, you know, other things that work in Ama Ivria should work for Ishus. So, in general, the Bali Tosas sometimes take these perspectives. The Ramban, Ude'imei, the Chachmei Sfarad, Ramban, you know, the Ritva, are a lot more, put a lot more, I think, stock, generally, into these Shaka Vitaryas, and a lot more of an effort, therefore, also to explain that, you know, they might really be a reappraisal, let's say, of some factors, but that at the end of the day they really work, and that they work according to the particulars in question. So that's just something to be aware of as we go through these Gemaras. You know, we'll see it. Ama, Pidyon Hekdesh, and so on. But certainly, if we were to take more seriously the second perspective, which we should always initially adopt, that, you know, this is a serious discussion. So then the things that we just discussed, which is, you know, how unique is Chalitza to Yibum for various reasons, and what about Shomeres Yavam versus Esh HaSeish? So these become very important ideas. So just to spend a couple of minutes, can it be that Zika is stronger than Yibum? So number one, according to the Sfarno Dine, in a way it is, because it's the continuation of the Isha. It's weaker because it's weaker and stronger, exactly the two points, you know, that we talked about and that Shmuel also brought up. Meaning, in Ishus, it's voluntary. You chose a person. Both people were involved in the choice. Zika is automatic. Again, that makes it stronger or weaker? It doesn't make it stronger or weaker, but it does make it different, certainly. Again, according to Svarno, that there's a hemshech of the erison of the mace, udime, in other words. So then you might say that's the easiest way to explain Zika stronger, because it's erison, the erison's still there. Again, there's no chiyuv misa for betrayal, but for shomeres yavam, that's true. But there is some sort of erison, and you don't need an erison. You have an erison, you don't need an erison, and you also have a Zika. So that makes it stronger in some respect. Another thing that makes it stronger is the fact, again, that it is automatic in the sense that, how could it be automatic? The answer is because of the chiyuv, lahakim la'achiv shem b'Yisrael. Ishus, as we know, is a choice. And even as a mitzvah, we'll say it this way, according to most Rishonim, our first topic, right, smak may be aside. The mitzvah isn't to get married. The mitzvah is when you get married, to get married b'derech erusin. In the case of Yibam v'chalitza, l'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael, is a chiyu mitzvah. There's a chovas agavra, at least within the mishpacha, right, for them to do something here.
There's no chiyuv on any particular woman.
Correct? Yeah. No, yeah, correct. Or brother, if there's more than one. Right? So that is a weakening point, as we just discussed, but it's also a strengthening. The fact of the chiyuv itself going across and the fact that it outlives, you know, Misa's Hamal, and it's still such a powerful force, may be a very strong basis for the Zika itself. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. In the end of the day, the Gemara says that only get works. And then the question, you know, that comes back, maybe this is what Isaac is also trying to say, is that we've turned our back on the idea that Zika, you know, is more powerful in some respects than Arison. That was wrong. We see that from the Gzeres HaKasuv of Get Karso Vein Dover Acher Karso. So we're reassessing, and we're coming back to the view that maybe Zika is less, that Shomeres Yavam may prove that, maybe, that, you know, Chalitza is something. Or is it this, that what we're saying in the end is, even if Zika, or not taking any stand on whether Zika is stronger or weaker than Arison, right? The fact is that chalitza in particular is what's excluded, because chalitza is something which is uniquely suited to the din of Yibum or Zika, as we explained it in the three different ways. So then there's an interesting Rashi and Rashash here, just to finish off with. Right, Rashi in the Mishnah, I don't think we mentioned it when we started. Rashi says, right, Bekones Atzma, right, Begetu B'Mises Habal, Hayivama Niknes B'Bia, Bekones Atzma, Bechalitza B'Mises Hayava. Right? So, Rashi says, that's certainly textbook straight out of the Gemara, right? And the Tikkun de Mahani Maimar, then he adds, Aval Eino Gomer Ba Lios Yarsha Umetamala Velo Lepotram in a Chalitza El Leposla Shar Echa. So what's interesting is, if you look at the Rashash, anybody have the Rashash open? The Rashash just makes the Ha'ara. He says, well, why does Rashi need to add that Shtar and Kesef, Minat Torah, do not work in Yibum, right? Legabe, Yerusha, and Tuma. Shtar and Kesef don't work in Erison, Legabe, Yerusha, and Tuma either. Yeah. Yeah, good. So what does he say? Yeah, read it. Yeah, go ahead. But meaning Erison doesn't accomplish that either. Go ahead. That's a terrific line. What does he say?
He's saying that by Yavama, anything that would normally make an Arison by Yavama would
be Gomer.
It's,
even though the Gemara has a, just to put it in context, right? Remember we talked about, you know, Bia, the Gemara's suffek about Bia Nisuinosa or Erisinosa. Okay, we understand that in Bia, right? But you never would say such a, the Gemara doesn't such a, have such a suffek about Shtar and Keseth, right? And then we talked about the fact, and what if you hold that Chupa is Kone? Would Chupa Dafka more or equal or less be, you know, Gomer also? That's an interesting discussion. We had talked about Tosa Rush and others, right? Then the Gemara has a discussion, you know, or the Rishonim have a discussion. Would Shtar Kesef, in theory, ever be Gomer even after Erisin? Right? You know, maybe yes or certainly not. Most Rishonim saying certainly not. Right? And now the Rashash is being Medayik and Rashi very well. However, in the context of Yibum, if there was such a thing, maybe that's the reason there is no such thing. Right? Maybe the reason that Kesef and Shtar are excluded from Yibum, right, is not only because of the directness of Kiddushei, of Bia, you know, to, you know, L'hokim L'achiv Shem B'Yisrael and so on. Maybe it's also because the only thing that could ever work in Yibum is a Gomer. But that's what the Rosh Hashanah is saying is so fascinating, is had it worked, it would have to be, if it was Daraisa, it would be Midin Gomer. Wow. That's a something very important about either a Sfarno type idea, there already is an Erisin, right? Or if you don't know, like the Sfarno, it's even more fascinating, meaning there's no Erisin, but, you know, in the nature of Zika is that it's only going to be both. Either, you know, either there's, if there is no Erison, you don't need an Erison, or this does Erison v'Nisuin. It's Nisuin Osa. So that's even, that's like a hypothetical. Now again, I mentioned the other hypothetical before. The Gemara here had a Hava Mina, assuming we're taking, we were spending like half an hour or 40 minutes on it, so we are taking it seriously, right? And that what? That Chalitza could work for Erison. It's interesting to add, and that it's, you know, kal v'chomer, you know, mizika. Would the Gemara have said such a thing about Nisuin? Now, does the Gemara think that, again, if the kal v'chomer is miget, that it's stronger than a get works from Nisuin, so then the Gemara is saying, then the Gemara's havamina was even that chalitza would work even in the context of Nisuin. Interesting. Meaning, the bond of Nisuin is also weaker and easier to, you know, to neutralize than Zika. You want to say Erison? It's one thing. You can say, oh, it's more than Erison. It's more than Nisuin. So that's an interesting issue too. Just to leave you with one other point, just before we go on. So all this presupposes the idea that the Zika, you know, the Zika Mimela, the Zika, you know, as in the Sfarno's terms, the Zika in the Mishpacha terms, you know, that it's an existing entity. There's something called the Zika, and you have to be matir the Zika. Now we're trying to figure out, you know, it's stronger, it's weaker, it's just different, you know, than the bond of Erisin or the bond of Nisuin. That's what we're talking about, right? A little teeny window into Yibum. But it's interesting, just on the other side, I think I mentioned before, that, you know, one perspective, which would really make this Gemara difficult, would be the idea that the chiyuv of Yibum and Chalitza is actually what's koveya the Zika. The reason there's a Zika, it's not like there's a Zika, right? And then you now have to address it, you know, normally we think there's a Zika, you have to address it, be Yibum and Chalitza is an out. Or there's a Zika, and you have to address it, you know, either with Yibum or Chalitza, and talk about preferences and so on. But another perspective is that the only reason that there's a Zika is because there's a Chiyuv Yibum and a Chiyuv Or and a Chiyuv Chalitza. Right? In which case, this, again, Maskana, we don't have a problem, but this Hava, I mean, it become really, really difficult. So where do you find such an idea? I mean, there are indications of it. But one very prominent one is the Ramban in Masechet Yevamos. The Ramban there talks about, anybody know? It's a famous one. Any Yibum people? Yevamos people? No? So you're getting a little taste, so hopefully everybody will be inspired. The Ramban talks about the problem of a sandal, shel chalitza, which is Isurei Hana. And the problem, whether you can use such a sandal shel Avod Zara, right, and so on, things like that. I'm not talking about the Ketutei Mechtei Shiurei problem, which is the Kesef Mishnah's issue, fascinating issue. But Mitzvah Lihonos Nidra, the Ramban says, don't worry about it. Sandal shel akum lo, this is Ramban in Yevamos, Kof Gimel Amud Beis. Ramban says, sandal shel akum lo tachlots v'imcholtza chalitzas k'sheira. Anyways, he's talking about this problem. So he says, Pirch Rashi hol uli hilucha avid, v'misham shavar azar lav l'sreifa kaimi, v'islo takanta bebito, v'imishum isuri ana, chalitza lav hanahi, v'mitzvos lav lihonos nitnu. Okay. Chalitza is a mitzvah, right? And therefore, mitzvah slav lihonos nitnu applies. Ah, problem is that we also know that whenever there is just a mitzvah, then we say mitzvah slav lihonos nitnu. But if there's physical benefit or pleasure from the mitzvah, right? So do you still say mitzvah slav lihonos nitnu? Ah, that's one question. And what about... Okay, that's a big machlokas of Rishonim. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that when there's physical hana, right, hana saguf, we don't say mitzvah slav lihonos nitnu anymore. Not all Rishonim, but many Rishonim. Ah, let's say you have a situation where there isn't physical, objective physical hana, but let's say there is halachic hana. Will you say mitzvah slav lihonos nitnu in that case? Meaning... Take chalitza, right? The result of chalitza is a tamatir. So she can go out and she can marry whoever she's mutaris l'shuk. So whatever you want to say about the mitzvah, there's also a legal benefit. Will we still say mitzvah slav lihonos nitnu? Right? That's another, I'm framing it this way. It's another place to draw. In my opinion, it's not so clear that you might not distinguish between a legal hana and a physical hana. Like if you're, you know, tovel, or you're, you know, whatever, you're jumping into the pool in Bimos HaChama, which is, you know, one of the classic example where a lot of the Ran and most of the Rishonim make this distinction, that's physical hana. If it's a, you know, pleasurable weather. But being matir, zika, right, yivama, l'shuk, Shomeris Yavam Lishuk. How about that? So the line in the Ramban is as follows. He says, Mitzvah Zonsun. He says, V'afa gav, the hacha boy lin suve, ubelo chalitza lo nosvila. Right after having said Mitzvah Lahonisun, the Ramban asks this question. He says, and even though, right, there's still the hana of the heter nisu, she wants to get married to someone else, or to have the possibility at least of getting married to someone else. Kivin de lo ma'akev ba ela mitzvah lav hanahi. Then he says, chatchila lo tachlo, it's fine. So what does Ramban mean? Okay, because I'm making a possible distinction between physical hana and halachic, you know, hana, as opposed to hana's mitzvah, so it's possible to read the Ramban here as saying just that. I mean, what the Ramban is saying is, it's true that this is, you know, Hana is Heter Lashuk, but it still flows from a halachic institution, not from a physical one, and therefore, you know, that comes under the rubric of Mitzvah Slav Lihonos Nitnu, in which case he's not saying anything about Chalitza. However, it's also possible that what the Ramban means here, and certainly many Achronim took it this way as well. But the Ramban is saying something else, and that is that in Achanami, if there was a status of Zika, right, and then a separate Matir, you know, then in Achanami, that would be the equivalent of going into the Mayan, you know, when you're getting physical Hana. Legal Hana and physical Hana, no difference. What the Ramban is really trying to say is, don't think that there's Zika and there's a Matir. The reason that there's Zika is because there's a Chiyuv of Yibam or Chalitza. So when we say Mitzvah Lihonos Nitnu, what we're really saying is that, you know, from the mitzvah perspective, which is the mechayev of the zika, right? There's no din of there's no problem of isurei hana. In other words, chalitza is not a matir; chalitza is the oser or the mechayev. So if you say that, then it's hard to say that you can compare zika and erusin, zika and nesuin, right? Especially if you're talking about the role of chalitza. It's the mechayev. Unless you want to say something very subtle, which I still think is possible also to say, and that is that if it wasn't for the potential and the kiyumim of yibam v'chalitza, there wouldn't be a zika. Right? That's still not exactly the same as saying that the chiyuv or the mitzvah of yibam v'chalitza creates the zika. But they're not totally separate either. In which case, that still might be the way of saying there are different types of legal heterim as opposed to physical, I'm sorry, legal hanos as opposed to physical hanos. This particular one is still very connected to the potential, at least, of the mitzvah. I'm just trying to show with the Ramban that, you know, how we look at chalitza and zika matters. And it's a pretty subtle question, and it matters for us. Again, just to remind everybody, you know, we talked about Reb Chaim, we talked about Erekiyu, and the Reb Chaim in Hilchos Yibam V'Chalitza, where he notes the debate in the Rishonim, is there a need for Erekiyu for Chalitza? Is there a need for Erekiyu for Yibum? Could you be Mechalik between Yibum and Chalitza? The impact that has on whether katan and ketana begadol omed al gabav, or if not begzeres hakasuv, would have been part of the mix. Then edekiyum nafkemina itself. So again, when the Gemara is assessing whether you can substitute chalitza for get or get for chalitza, right? In addition to the other things that we're talking about, whether we see chalitza as a matir or as a kinyan atzmo, right? And whether or not it's creating a new chalos. Right, or simply, like we discussed, you know, the view of the Rambam about chuppah. It's simply a matir or a maisa, which is an obstacle. All of these go into the mix for many issues, including the proper way to read our Shakavatari. Okay, let's continue. I see it took longer than I thought, but let's at least start the next part. Okay, Jakey, go ahead. So, of course, this is already a problem. Why? Because the Gemara in Daf Beis already said, Kicha Kicha, Miste Ephron. And the Gemara is going to again mention it again later. So, like we thought, you know, been there, done that. Right? Go ahead. Yeah. Now, here's another problem, and that is why is the Gemara mixing in the issue of Kedushei Ketana, and especially the question of who has really the rights to Kesef Kiddushin in the case of Kedushei Ketana, is that a second, totally separate, independent question to the question of how do we know Kesef? Or is somehow there a subtle, distinct, subtle relationship between the makar for Kiddushei Kesef and the way that it works or why it works and the question of who is entitled to Kiddushei Kesef in the context of Kiddushei Ketana, right? In theory, that the Rishonim struggle with this. Like, why is the Gemara formulated in such a strange or challenging way. Are we trying to say that there's a subtle link between these things, or we're just trying to bundle and save a little space and talk about two things at the same time, but never the twain shall meet? Right? Okay, keep going. Yeah, so this is a different limud. It's not just that we said it already, it's a different limud. Jakey, what do you think about this limud? Umaniwa, right? Yeah. So what do you think about this limud? Fine, good. Another limud, a different limud, an alternative limud, or is it parallel, similar, or I don't mean the actual limud, but I mean is it the same kind of a limud, or does it raise any questions? Yeah, so it's totally different if you ask me. In what way?
It's a much more from someone else doesn't have, and then therefore that just...
Kicha kicha miste afron is about what? It's a Kenyan. It works in very nicely to the things that we've been talking about very extensively, you know, from day one, namely the idea, you know, the idea of Kedushin being a Kenyan, and then even the Kesef parts, the import from Dine Mamanis, right, having a certain very important symbolic value, right? You know, the role that Kesef plays. But V'yotzachinam ein kasef, ein kasef ladon zev, yesh kasef ladon acher, umaniu av, what does that sound like? Well, what's that pattern? What's that paradigm? Just a different makar? I mean, we're comparing it to a what?
Leaving Amavria.
The Amavria who is leaving the Adon. She's like buying out her contract. Right? She's buying out a contract. So that implies what, Alex? I'm saying that's the makor for Kiddushin? It might be a structural parallel to the... I mean, she's leaving the father's domain. So if you wanted to say... Yeah, Azriel?
Yeah, it's focusing on the relationship between the, I guess, the Zochet party, the father of the Adon, and the...
It's comparing the Adon and the father.
Yeah.
That's totally, in other words, it isn't her Kesef Kiddushin. It doesn't look like it anyway. It's more like, you know, some extraneous, you know, compensation. Like, oh, I have to throw, you know, Papa a bone because, you know, I'm no longer going to be a source of income for him. Or comfort, or whatever, or both, right? I'm yotzei mirshus ha'adon, I can't just leave, and when I'm yotzei mirshus ha'ab. So if this was just the makar for kiddushe kesef in Ketana, maybe it is, we'll see, then maybe there would be other ways to look at this. But this doesn't translate so smoothly, right, into regular Kiddushe Kesef, does it?
Still focusing. Amavri is a focus of some sort of level of...
Ishus? Okay, maybe. Either we have to look at this in terms of Kiddushe Kesef, you know, Tana, but even if it isn't limited to that, maybe it is something about this. Or maybe it's to force us to look at, you know, Amma in a different way too, especially since Amma can turn into Ishus, and that's one of our... things that we have to keep building a database on too, meaning Yiyud and so on. Yeah.
And if you even go further, like if not for the Kicha Kicha, we wouldn't even know that Kesef works for the Maisa Kiddushin.
Right.
Here it just says that the recipient is the father, but not per se that the Kesef caused
Kiddushin.
The Kiddushin.
Correct. Very good. Very good point. So it's a strange... Now the fact that you know, that some Mefarshim think this is the main makar is surely interesting. Again, it's hard to know how much to make of it. What's the Rambam's view about the makar of Kiddushei Kesef? Josh? In Mishatori, he quotes Kicha Kicha. In Pirshim Mishnayos, he quotes Kicha Kicha. But he does give some prominence to V'yatzachinam, where? In Sefer Mitzvos. Right? What is it? What's the Sefer Mitzvah number? Reish. Reish Yud Gimel, right? You have it? Oh, I've got to stop in like 1 minute. People coming to see me. But let's continue just a little bit more in the Gemara and Shaka Vitaria. Okay, but we at least know what we're what bothers us. Go ahead. Oh, even more fascinating. Right? She should get the money, even though the paradigm is Yitzia Mina Adon. Yeah? Right? He's not even asking that. He's asking Yosher. Right? He does the Kiddushin, she should get the money. So we have to talk about that. Go ahead. Ema Hani Milik Tano. Yeah. We have to see also, does the Gemara in the Rishonim, right, discussion, only she, either one, is there ever a way to split the money and the decision? Okay, we'll talk. Keep going. Yeah. So it sounds, so far it sounds like, Jakey, the what? No. Always he gets the money. Okay. Ella? So tape a clay. Yeah. Okay, we'll have to talk about that, especially the Bali Tulsas. Okay. Eli Mistabra. The Glissa Gemara is fighting back that it's not, although not necessarily for the same reasons that we were, right? About the comparison. Go ahead, Bafar Sadarim. Okay. Okay, we'll go one more line and then we'll stop and then we'll just summarize what we're doing. B'hai b'yatza. Yep. Ain kesef without a yud. So you can learn both. Yeah. Umi mai darshina nachi. Right, ayin law. Yeah. Ain ala zara kasher. Yeah, we'll talk about that briefly also. Yeah, keep going. Me'ein bilam, right? Or me'ein yevami, without a yud. Yeah. Okay, let's just finish up. Go ahead. V'yitzrich. Okay, we'll have to continue with this. But basically, let's talk about what the whole Shaka Vitaria here just sounds very challenging. Okay, but obviously the main thing to try to figure out is two things. Number one, what we just started with. How does the Sviyat HaChinam, how does it really work? What are the implications as opposed to Kicha Kicha? Also, but the Gemara is weighing, which seems to be the web of relationships between a father and a young daughter. Again, we're not going to do this extensively, but just a little bit at least, as it reflected in Kiddushe Ketana, but also the parallels to, right, Hafaras Nadarim, Maisi Adayim, you know, the possibility of Amma Ivriya, and so on. So let's try to, again, pin down the Lushonis and the Rishonim. Again, try to, I want to get through the whole Shaklavataria. But make sure also that in addition to the Rashi, Tosas, Rambam, Al-Attar, just to, that you've seen the Rambam in Hilchos Na'or Basula, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel through Yud Zayin, and Ishus, Perek Gimel, Halacha Tes, Yud Dalid, Yud Tes, Perek Tes, Halacha Ches, the Darim, Perek Vav, Halacha Hey, Shavuos, Perek Ches, Halacha Gimel, a few things. Look also just quickly, also when the Gemara talks about Mumin, if she has Mumin, is it his? Does he have to prove it? The father. Well, this, I just want to speak a little bit about the relationship between the father and the daughter. Ksuvas Ayin Hei Omed Aleph, the Mishnah there about Mumin, Al Mila Haviraya, and the Rav Ashi on Ayin Vav Omed Aleph in Ksuvas, and Rashi and Tosas there. Manala Abba and Manali. Yeah. Okay, let's start with that, and I want to do the. I want to get through Shakar Tari just to get the better sense first, and then also the Rambams I told you about Divrei Sofer, and then we'll fill in what we need. Okay, so tomorrow's at 1 o'clock.
Tomorrow we're doing Ian, regular...
Yeah, but I'll say a few words about Kifa, since it's Kifa, Kifa. So we're going to do both.
Every day.